Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the show. This is a good time of year. It means it's getting warmer. We're going to start talking NASCAR here on the podcast. I'm Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins. Haven't talked to Rod for a little bit of time, but we're getting ready for this weekend's Daytona 500 and then, of course, the rest of the 2022 NASCAR season. And Rod, before we get started, I got to say, hey, man, hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, doing okay. A lot of things going on in the off season, especially after NASCAR ended. But yeah, I figure by at least Friday, I'll have my hair cut. I'll look at least a little bit decent. I've let my hair grow out a little bit more. I kind of look like a, safe to say, a mountain man, so to speak. I've kind of not shaved in a couple of days, but you know, I'll be ready by the weekend, especially when the Daytona 500 rolls around.
All right. Well, so let's start there. Maybe take us back to the clash this past weekend. It's always, you know, the unofficial start of NASCAR, even though it's not a points race. Some of the surprises that came out of the racing.
Yeah. The first thing was, who in the world would have thought that they'd been able to pull off a clash race, or especially on a 0.25, you know, I don't even want to call it an oval, more like a paperclip almost in a way, the way that the track was shaped. But I mean, who would have thought that they would be able to pull off such a marketing coup as putting it inside the Los Angeles Coliseum? I think that was just a sheer genius. I know there's a lot of people and a lot of NASCAR purists out there that said, you know, this is terrible, I don't like this and stuff, but this is what NASCAR has to do in order to attract new markets, new people, new fans, to get them into this sort of thing. And I think they picked a great time, especially a week before the Super Bowl took place. I think it just, you know, drew some attention to Los Angeles and the fact of it being a sports related town. And of course, we know how the Super Bowl went last night, you know, on Sunday night with the Bengals getting defeated by the Rams. But, you know, it's kind of brought Los Angeles back. You know, it's not just a Lakers town anymore. It's not just a Clippers town, but who cares about the Clippers? But I mean, you know, you got this whole situation about, you got racing in Los Angeles now. I mean, you don't have it out at the Auto Club Speedway. You don't have it right now, although they're going to go back out there this year. But it was definitely a marketing coup, and Steve Phelps and company needs to have a good pat on the back about that, you know. And they even brought in entertainment too, halftime entertainment for this big clash. And, you know, I saw some great performances from some drivers, some that are very hungry. Joey Logano, of course, won this race. You know, this seems to be the kind of track that Joey Logano loves. He loves a short track. He can just do well on it. But, you know, I was really impressed with Eric Jones and the Petty GMS team. They came in third in the final standings of it. Not Austin Dillon, but brother Ty could have finished very well ahead. He could have maybe even won the thing if he hadn't been beating and banging on everybody. But when you're in such close quarters like you are out there in the Coliseum, I don't understand why they penalized him for, you know, aggressive driving on that. But, you know, to each his own, I suppose. But, you know, it gave the fans a thrill. I read something just before we went on that merchandising sales from the Busch Clash out at the Coliseum were up. I didn't exactly see a number, but, you know, a Los Angeles crowd, a California crowd, and also from out there in the West that came to see this race, they got their money's worth out of it.
What is the sense that you're seeing from NASCAR officials, team owners, drivers? Is this something that might be done again in the future?
The way they're talking, yes. They're talking about doing this again next year at the Coliseum, maybe even for 2024. Now, that's still up in the air, but, you know, they liked it that well, and NASCAR was impressed with the hospitality, everything that was given to them. You know, they're tearing the course right back up. They've already torn it up. They're getting it ready for playing surface again, once again, to be able to play on. But, you know, NASCAR is definitely looking at something like this, and who knows, we may be going to something a little bit closer to home the next time on a smaller track. You know, I'd love to see something like what would come back is, you know, NASCAR maybe give something and some kind of a gift or some kind of a, I don't know, donation or something to the folks at Bowman Gray Stadium down there in Raleigh, and be able to go and spruce that track up a little bit more. I mean, they play football on it. They play high school football on Friday nights. then they have racing on it. And, you know, they did some testing there with the next generation car. And that's how they got prepared. Some of the cars got prepared, or at least the testing, for the 0.25 mile track out at the Coliseum. So I think this is possibly a new thing. It's going to be coming on. Definitely, I think we'll see it back at the Coliseum again in 2023.
Now, thinking ahead to the start of the season, Daytona 500 this weekend, is there anything we can glean from what we saw at the Clash, given that it's such a, you know, it's a very different track, it's a very different kind of a racing. But, I mean, it's the first time guys were competitive, teams were competitive as well. So What can we glean from that and looking ahead to the Daytona 500 this weekend?
Well, you know, you didn't really get a chance to get a car up to top speed like you should have, you know, like you would normally do at Daytona. If you went and had the Busch Clash down there, you'd been able to open up 200 miles an hour and find out how this next generation car is really going to air out, how it's going to air out aerodynamically and so forth. These guys are going to find out this coming week. They're going to find out when all of this takes place. They're going to find out when the race happens on Sunday. You know, it's guesswork is what it's ended up being. They've tested at Daytona with the next generation car. They've gotten good reviews out of it. You know, a lot of people saying, I love the car. It's smooth. It handles great. It does wonders. And then you've got people that are just like, I don't like it. And it's going to take a while for some of them to get used to it. Kyle Busch still isn't quite happy with the car. He thinks there needs to be a little bit more work, but I think he's not as persistent as he was last year and saying that it's not going to work. This is a work of art in progress is what this car is. And I think that's what they're going to find out this coming weekend at Daytona. They're going to find out if this car really can be able to do some things, you know, like what they've expected it to do, but they're going to also see if these drivers can't pull something off of, who knows, maybe drafting. You know, they're going to try to draft and see what they can do. And, you know, I think drafting is going to be a big part of it. It always is at one of those 2.5 mile tracks. But how is it going to affect everyone else? Is it going to be just pack racing of three or four cars at a time? Or is it going to be the long train ride of coming up through on the front stretch and going all the way back into turn two, going on the back stretch there at Daytona? That's what's going to remain to be seen.
In addition to figuring out how these new cars will react to a super speedway the first time they're being used. We also have quite a few new drivers with new teams, groups figuring each other out, crew chiefs changing everything else. Maybe take us through some of the, you know, some of the guys there who will be having to figure out all that kind of stuff on the track this week.
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I'm looking right now at the list, and this is the entry list for Daytona this coming Sunday. You've got Trackhouse Racing, which was in existence last year with Ross Chastain, though, as the driver this year. Austin Cindric has moved over from the Xfinity Series over to the regular, the Cup Series now. He's going to be running for Team Penske. He's taking Brad Keselowski's place. Then you've got some things that kind of remain the same. And then Brad Keselowski, he joined Roush Fenway to form Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing. He's going to be in the number six car. And then as you go on down the list, not a whole lot of changes. There's going to be some differences, some different faces maybe in some places. David Reagan's going to be running for Rick Ware Racing this coming weekend. But then out of nowhere, this is the one that got me and really caught me by surprise. Greg Biffle. And Greg Biffle ran for a long time with Roush Fenway Racing, with Roush Racing for a long time, and then took a step back. He hasn't had a regular ride in several years. He's coming back in the 44 car this week to race for New York Racing Team, NY Racing Team, and they're going to be carrying the colors of the Grambling Tigers on that car, promoting historically black colleges and universities. And I think that's a great thing. And, you know, here he is, he's going to be driving that car. But, you know, I guess the big changes that took place this year has been the Petty GMS merger, Richard Petty Motorsports. And a lot of people didn't know what was going to happen because they feared that Richard Petty Motorsports was going to go under. And then Germain Racing comes in and they come in GMS Motorsports and they merge with Petty and then actually are able to hold on to another charter number in the 42 car that used to be Kyle Petty's number for a long time with Felix Sabatis. And, you know, that was one of those things that the Petty's owned at one time was that number 42, because That's Lee Petty's old number. So you've got the 42 and the 43 car that's going to be out there on the track. And Ty Dillon is coming back full time to race for Richard Petty this year. And then Eric Jones, of course, coming back with the team for a second year. And he's been doing some racing in the off season, going to a lot of dirt tracks, sort of like what Kyle Larson did to kind of, I guess, hone his skills a little bit more to help him end up winning the championship this past year. So, you know, you got a lot of changes in places. Harrison Burton, Virginia native, he's going to be racing the Wood Brothers car out of, well, we always say Stewart, Virginia, but of course they're out of the Carolinas now, but the Wood Brothers will be having Harrison Burton in there running. And then Bubba Wallace, of course, has a racing partner this year with him, and that's going to be none other than Kurt Busch. He's coming over to the 23XI racing team. So a lot of changes, but the big one, Jacques Villeneuve, Team Hesberg or whatever, however you pronounce it. It's a weird name. he's making his jump into NASCAR, and he thinks he's got a shot at it. And, you know, I'd like to see him succeed. It's a different sport than, you know, IndyCar racing, Formula One, however you want to call it. But he's still, he's going to be attempting to make the race in the 27 car for Team Hesberg. We'll just call it that way. So Jacques Villeneuve is going to be in that one. So the rest of them, pretty much names that we know, just maybe some different faces in some different places. We're going to see some other drivers from the Xfinity series. Noah Gragson will be coming over. He'll be racing this coming weekend as well. And he'll be racing in the Beard Motorsports team. You know, a lot of people are questioning that, you know, why is he racing for another team when he is contracted to Dale Jr. or Junior Motorsports? It's because Junior Motorsports, JR Motorsports, has not committed yet to going full time into Cup racing. They're still kind of taking it easy right now. So maybe a decision may be made by 2023. Who knows about that? But we'll have to wait and see.
Going back to Jacques Villeneuve real quick. Yep. We want him to do well, but if he does well, Rod, that means I've got to ask a lot of questions. You have to answer them about him. So we'll have to be we'll be awkward until we figure out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pay attention this weekend when the race is on. I'm going to hear how those guys say his name. That's the trick I've learned over the years, broadcasting wise. You know, I did a VMI basketball game a couple weeks ago. I had to fill in for Wade Branner when he was out with COVID. And I was very pleased that there were no hard names to pronounce on either roster. It was, I think they were playing, who were they playing that day? Tennessee, Chattanooga. It was the Mocs were in town, or the Bucks were in town, excuse me. And I was so happy that they were all sort of very easy names to pronounce. So that's the first trick in broadcasting is
Well, I know, and I got to be honest about this. When I hear Jacques Villeneuve, I don't know why my mind suddenly starts kind of degrading and going down to a level of Bobby Boucher. And I start thinking of that driver, and then, you know, how are they going to pronounce this name? You know, you've got professionals down there at Daytona at the track, but, you know, if this was back here in the mountains of southwestern Virginia, East Tennessee, you would hope that somebody would know how to pronounce his name. But, you know, just when you think that you know how to pronounce something, I've been years ago, I was at a football game one night, and I knew what the band was performing. They were doing a performance out of Cirque du Soleil. It didn't come out that way from the announcer. And then the second time I heard that, I think, was at another football game, and this band was doing a performance of Les Miserables, and the guy got there and announced it Les Miserables.
Yep. Yep.
And that's just not good. And that's what could possibly happen. No, it won't happen at Daytona. I don't think so. These guys are professional.
It's like my worst dream, though, that I will have a roster full of guys from all over the place. And I love the diversity in sports, but man, oh man, this, you know, until I hear the name, I'm very nervous about it. Even when I hear it, I want to get it right. So Jacques.
Hey, I can go back to 95 when I was calling play-by-play for UVA Wise and the Highland Cavaliers, and they brought a team down here from Canada, Laval University, and they had all these French names down through there. And There was a I think it was a young girl and a boy that attended the university. They were in front of us, in front of me and the other guy calling the game and everything. And, you know, when we said a good French name, and I'd taken French in college, thank goodness, but there's some names I can't pronounce. They go like this in the press box. You know, they'd lift their thumb up. They'd say, okay, like that. And then there was one name that we butchered. We butchered it as bad as, oh gosh, it was just terrible. And we finally had to go on break. And when we went on break, she was irate. She was just turned around. She was irate. I said, listen, we're in Southwest Virginia. Nobody cares about these French names. If this was on the internet, it'd be different. It's not on the internet. So live with it. We're doing it the best we can. We never heard anything out of her the rest of the game. So I guess we did all right after that. So
at the Virginia Tech basketball game, they're playing tonight as we're recording this. So right. In a couple hours, actually. But at the game in Charlottesville last month, my seat on Media Row was happened to be right next to the Virginia Tech student radio team. So there's a, you know, there's the regular team, Mike Burnup and whoever the new guy is now that took Bill Lazor's place. Mm-hmm. But then there's the student team, you know, they're taking classes, learning how to do things. And they sat them right. I was sitting there. So this is where the pronunciation guy doesn't always help.
Right.
Igor Milicic, Virginia player, and they looked at me and they showed me the pronunciation guide and how it said to say Milicic. And I looked at that and said, okay, because what the pronunciation guide they were handed did not actually give them Igor Milicic's name as it's spelled out, just in normal ways. It gave the phonetic spelling. And I couldn't read. I mean, I was like, what number is he again? Is it 24? That's Milicic.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't even close. So pronunciation guides don't help all the time either, unfortunately.
No, they don't. So. Oh my gosh.
Secrets from broadcasting world there. Let's get back to NASCAR. What is the schedule for this week leading up to this weekend in the Sunday race?
Well, you know, of course, the Sunday race, it'll be starting probably sometime at around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. They're hoping to be able to go and get this thing started. About 2:30 in the afternoon is what it's going to be. You know, some of the things that they've got going on this Wednesday is going to be qualifying. They've got practice sessions this time around. Practice is going to be starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact, for about 50 minutes. And then they'll have a second practice session tomorrow evening at 6:35 to about 7:25. Now, then on Wednesday, starting at 8:05 p.m., it's going to be under the lights. They'll have qualifying, and this is what will decide the field right here. A lot of this stuff will. And then they're going to have the duels that they've always had before. The duels is just one of those fun races that they like to have, especially going into speed weeks. They'll have that on looking at the date here again. Let's see. Duel number one is going to be at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Duel number two at 8:45 on Thursday. Another practice session. And then, of course, they'll have the Xfinity series on Saturday. And the race will be on Sunday, starting at around 2:30. The green flag is scheduled to drop at 3:06 p.m. And, of course, Fox will have coverage. MRN Radio will have it on the radio. And we'll have some posts as the race goes on itself on Sunday afternoon. We'll be following along and kind of giving you some ideas of, you know, who's in the lead, who just wrecked, and everything else. And here's the big news. This is the first time I've heard this in a long time. The Daytona 500 for this weekend is sold out. Now, that's a shock because NASCAR, according to this press release, it says NASCAR's incredible momentum entering 2022 was showcased again as Daytona International Speedway announced that the 64th running of the Daytona 500 set for Sunday, February 20th is a complete sellout. Wow. That says a lot about it.
That does. I was looking at the weather forecast because, you know, we've had some issues with weather the last few years off and on. 25% chance of rain, according to the Weather Channel. So that's not bad. It's not perfect weather. Temperatures in the low 70s. And there's also a slight chance of rain on Saturday and Monday. So we should be able to get the race in, which is good news for a sellout crowd, the momentum of NASCAR and that kind of thing.
Well, you know, we'll see some high speeds. If it's that temperature, we'll see some high speeds. We'll probably see a lot more drafting because, you know, some people don't believe that the humidity and things like that holds a car back from being able to be, you know, speed wise, aero wise. I mean, you're cutting through moisture is what you're cutting through when you're driving on the track. So it being a little bit more dry, I think those cars will be able to move faster around the track. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. I just want to see if, you know, the train scenario sets up like it did and like it has in the past? Are you going to have these three or four groups of cars that's going to break out? Are they going to get into, you know, these little competitions amongst each other? Looking at practice, I don't think they were really opening up at full blast, but you'd see three and four cars kind of hanging together and stuff, and they would run together, whether they were just kind of getting the feel for the car itself. But we'll all find that out on Sunday, how it's going to end up. It's a totally new car. This car has not been under any kind of race conditions until this coming Sunday. And forget about the Busch Clash or the Clash out at the Coliseum. That's not even considered a competition, a serious competition. That's like taking your car out to the parking lot at Food Lion or something and just whizzing around in the parking lot a couple of times. This is the real thing. And we could either see some speeds approach 200 miles an hour. We might even go over 200. We'll probably find out more about that when they have qualifying coming up this week.
And we'll see how it holds up as well over 500 miles too. So
that'll be a
good test. Well, I think we're about as ready as we could possibly be for the Daytona 500 this weekend, and we look forward to having Rod back every Monday this NASCAR season from now through November. So, Rod, gear up for us here because we've got a long way to go here.
Got a long way to go, but I tell you, today you really floored me. I think that's the quickest I've ever got a reply back on one of those credential things and stuff. Oh, when we sent the credentials out, I mean, I was like, whoa, this is fast.
Didn't I just request that yesterday, I think?
Yeah, it was last week. I think I sent it to you on Friday, and
it was Friday.
Are you kidding me? It's this quick? And that's going to be for the Food City 500. That's going to be the race on dirt, or the Food City race on dirt is what that's going to be on Easter Sunday. It's going to be a night race, too. They learned from last year and trying to race this thing during the daytime, and you can't see as much during the daytime. So I'm really looking forward to it. I didn't get a chance to see it last year and really wanted to go see it and didn't get a chance to, but fortunately was able to get there for the September race. But I'm telling you that's going to be, they're working right now nonstop on that track, getting it ready for another round of dirt, what they're going to have. Matter of fact, they're going to be having a month's worth of racing leading up, I think, in the month of March, leading up to that middle part of April before they have that Food City race.
Well, that's something to look forward to. Yeah, that's right. AFP will be represented. We know that already. Rod will be there for us on the dirt, and take your goggles with you.
Goggles and yes, face masks too. I'm definitely going to believe in face masks this time around, because I was told last time at the last race that, buddy, unless you had a mask in front of you, you're not going to be able to breathe because of the way this stuff's coming up at you and stuff. And if you got any kind of lung problems, probably for the best that way. So, people higher up, they didn't have to worry about it as much, but if you're down there pretty close to the track and this stuff's coming up, oh my gosh, it can be tough sometimes for some people.
Well, that's something to look forward to as well. Daytona this weekend. Mm-hmm. We are all ready for it. Ron, as always, thank you for your time.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.